Good morning. This is Murich Meg, RTR FM 92.1, Noongar Radio and Great Southern FM. It's good to be back in 2024 after a very challenging 2023. It's good to be back on air. I'm solo today, Nick Abraham. Nick is, would you believe he's on a honeymoon after 37 years of marriage, and Jodie is not available too. So we're starting off a different way this year, but it may not happen every week. But we did a song first. We got Ellie Lovegrove and Archie Roach, I'm Gonna Fly. So welcome to Murich Meg. Welcome to our listeners in Noongar Radio. Welcome to our listeners around the Great Southern. It's good to be back in black and talking to you. Good news stories. Had a great think over the break about what's going to happen with Murich Meg. Still here. Probably still trying to get off the canvas, though, after last year's... we know what happened last year. And 2024 is going to be a better year. And first show of Murich Meg this year on RTR-FM is a good old mate and relative, TJ, and we'll talk some more about her in a minute. So, good morning, TJ.
Good morning, viewers and or listeners and brother boy.
Good on you.
Thank you for inviting me on board.
Telling you is her name, and we'll be talking a little about who her mob, where she's from, and talking about the great work history that she's had. There's not many people that come into the studio that's older than me, but this one is. But we won't go there. We won't talk about age. I mean, you're not supposed to talk about age when you're talking to yogas and, you know, women. They probably get a little bit offended if you start talking about age and who they are and why they're so much older than you.
No problem with age, brother.
So, TJ, welcome to Murich Meg. Who are your mob? Where are they from?
Well, you're part of my mob. my mob goes way, way back, down Albany way. So I'm my bloodline to country, Meningoran and Wiradjuri mob, down the Great Southern, right from Katanning, right out to Augusta, right out Albany, and other past Esperance, Yock Bay. And that's on both sides of my mother's parents. Mm. So Minnie Knapp, matriarch.
Yep.
She was my great-grandmother.
Yes.
And also Emily Farmer, Neacoin. Yes. That's where we connect.
We are.
So right back to, you know, her mum and Nyalkin and, right back to Tuglarani. So I've actually want to talk a little bit about trying to find myself.
Good.
And found those people as we go along. But, yeah, too lovely to be on the show today.
Well, it sounds like you were lost for a little while. So we'll touch on that. But part of your yarning today is about the work you've done in healing and the establishment of Sister Kate's Homies, which is probably the only orphanage in Australia where our kids were taken. And that's very historical and very truthful about fancy our kids taken to an orphanage when they had parents. So I don't know how the government can really live with themselves when they know we've got parents and we set up an orphanage, the first of its kind in Australia. So, TJ, we were talking a little about that, but also the challenges in your life now and the work you've done, because you've retired from the Sister Kate's Homies. And is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, it's going into retirement can affect people in many different ways, and I've got an industrious mind, and I want to be doing things here, there, everywhere, running around like a headless chook half the time. So I'm not totally in retirement. I've been dragged out of retirement by Paddy Dudgeon. Yeah,
well, the retirement word we shouldn't use. It's a dirty word, isn't it, really? Yeah. I mean, who retires when you're First Nation people and you're active like we are?
Yeah, and there's always things to do, you know, look after family, looking after the more, looking after the old fellas. Mm. You don't ever retire.
Yeah.
And I don't want to anyway. but I did need a break, and I can actually talk a little bit about that if you want.
Yeah. So you've had a break from being heavily involved in Sister Kate's Homies and working on a healing centre over there at Sister Kate's on the bush block behind the Queen's Park Primary School, opposite the orphanage. I don't know why I keep saying orphanage, but that would have been a challenging role and probably very meaningful and rewarding.
It was challenging, but we had a vision. Homies come together and our descendants and younger generations, right, that made up this whole focus on how we can self-determine our own destinies. Fair enough. It's over the road. The bush block is over the road, but it is our beloved bush block, because that's where we used to run away from the abuse in the home when we were younger, in our primary years, run across the block there, and that gave us a sanctuary. That gave us a place where we can be ourselves, connect with the natural world, heal ourselves in some kind of way. We were only kids. We don't know the difference. But when you're actually older now and you look back, that saved us in a lot of ways. Also, we used to look out, or the cottage I was in had a window directly over facing the bush block, and I used to see my grandfather's car, the old Studebaker ute, cruising past, all our mob on the back, and they used to go and park in Hamilton Street. So we knew that we'd had to sneak out of the home to go over there, because the cottage parents wouldn't let us. But that's where we used to meet our family too, when they wouldn't let us into them into the home to see us.
So tell me, TJ, where does that come from, your name? And because your family, you didn't say who your family was. Your immediate family.
Okay, my immediate family, you know, as I said, in my family are the Coins,
yep.
the Haywoods,
yep.
The Knapps, the Williams, the Keens.
Keens, yep.
Yeah,
yep.
So okay. What I'm saying, we've got, my mother has just recently passed.
Yes, yes.
I'll be able to handle it a bit more but she was also a matriarch of those family lines. She stepped over just before her 97th. Birthday. So that's all my mob. Yeah,
yep. Lots in common. Because my mother's next birthday is 97.
They're cousins.
Birds of a feather.
But they were cousins, and they also, you know, connected when they were younger down the southwest.
Right.
My mother was stolen, and so was yours.
Yes. Look, the sanctuary across the road from Sister Kate's. Now let's talk about that a little bit more, because I think, you know, there's a lot of memories going back to missions. I'm talking Marybank, Carrollup. I'm talking Wandering Mission. I'm talking Moore River, Magumba.
Yeah.
And there were sanctuaries away, just over the road from the mission. So I'm starting to get a better picture, because our stolen mob want to take these places back. So you've reclaimed that place that was so close to the orphans, and I really bite my tongue when I say that, because you weren't.
We were
orphans.
Stolen children, not orphans, because we had our parents.
It's a 5-acre block that's been developed. You've got some great designs happening. What is that?
So just going back a bit in regards to the bush block and how it has become a beloved place for us.
Yes.
As I said, it was a very, you know, a reference to our healing, and of course we were kids. We didn't know how to articulate in those days.
No.
And it gave us a space to be able to be ourselves. Mind you, we used to get a belt when we got back from the cottage parents. If they weren't homey, if they were others, we used to get a hiding to go over that. So even though there might be some kind of negative connotations to it in regards to memory about violence that was, you know, dealt out to us, we always felt that that had a place in our heart. And it had a place to be able to be utilised to help heal our trauma.
Mm.
So this is what I'm saying. The bush block is associated with trauma recovery.
Yes.
And it's also about self-determination. Also extending the hand to other stolen gen groups to utilise that space when it's up and running to be able to heal themselves too. So we're not just looking at our own self in a selfish way. We're very, very collective. Mm. And that's what we want to do for our mob.
Good. If you've just tuned in, this is 92.1 RTR FM. We're talking TJ Telemenu and her work at Sister Kate's Orphanage, one of the only orphanages in Australia, I've learned recently, which is just amazing that an orphanage has been set up. 0405 921 921 is our number if you've got any thoughts about what TJ is saying. We're going to go to a song, because this song is really important and reminding our listeners here on Mortgage Mag as to what TJ is talking about. So we talked a little about the orphanage, but let's talk after Archie Roach about your aspirations for this healing centre. Let's go to Archie Roach again. Welcome back to Mortgage Mag. Keep it locked on 92.1. And good to have TJ here. TJ, you've told us a little about the inspiration, but how did it actually come about? The moving towards a healing centre, the concept, and obviously it wasn't just your idea.
No, it wasn't. It was a collective idea. But I think things started changing up when you were involved in about the Bringing Them Home report.
Mm.
I was working with Sally Morgan in those days, and we started looking at the oral histories. People were sharing up. They wanted change. It was the right time for change. Then you had the apology. A lot of people, you know, appreciated that. Others didn't. But then we started really gearing up. So there was a group of people. You were one of them, but also Hannah McGlade.
Mm.
She played a big role in revving things up.
Yes.
Teddy Wilkes was a part of that. There was Glenys Collard, myself. We're the homies.
Yes.
Not Teddy, but we're the homies. I became the chairperson of the Sister Kate's Home Kids Ab Corp for 12 months and then got money from the Healing Foundation. They were just starting out, and that was back in the day, and so that we got a big chunk of that money to be able to progress our vision, and then we went from there. So we're going, you know, right back to 2010, and we've been moving ever since. So we've been rolling along at least 13 up to 15 years in the back. But Hannah McGlade, I just like to say, played a big role in bringing the people, us homies, together. She's much younger than me. I'm, as I said, I've got no problem with age. I'm hitting 72. Most of the mob homies that were working to bring this vision about were that age. They were my brothers, the homie brothers and sisters. Hannah was younger than us,
mm-hmm.
but she spent some time in the home. But she did a fabulous job. I just wanted to actually give her a plug on that.
Big shout out to Hannah McGlade.
Mm.
That's great, sis. That's great, sis. Mm. So that's progressed now to the point where, what, you've tipped the dirt, the spade, or the foundation?
No, you call it turning the sod, but I don't like that. I like to say the gold shovel going into Kabuja. So it's, you know. But that hasn't actually happened yet because we've just recently, last year, you know, the land's just been divested from the Indigenous Land
and Sea Council.
Yeah, they've actually just divested it last year to our corporation. And we, though, however, we also got $4 million from the Lotteries West to start our stage one build.
Wow.
That there is in three stages. So I've got to go and find out, or the rest of the board, or homie's got to go and find another $9 million. If there's a millionaire out there listening, please get back to us. We need that money to do stage two and three. I'm doing a plug now.
No.
But yeah,
we'll
so,
leave that to management and the board to do that.
Yeah, but what I'm saying there that is that we've actually started. So don't think it was an easy travel. It wasn't.
Nothing's been, easy in this world,
yeah,
TJ.
Very, very hard. But I tell you what, the commitments of the homies, the younger gens and their descendants are rolling up our sleeve, and we all work together. We wouldn't have got to where we are now if it wasn't for the collective homie.
Right.
So, yeah, all good.
And it is about a space, a safe space for people to come and gather, to yarn. It's collective healing at its best. So congratulations on all of that work.
Thank you, brother.
So it's interesting to see how that's developed, because we all think we've got, you know, ideas and solutions, and sometimes we're just not heard. And that's, well, should I say we don't have a voice? But then that's another story. We won't go there.
Yeah.
You're listening to Moorish Mag. So a big shout out to our mob at Noongar Radio and Great Southern FM. And, yeah, it's the first show for the year. I'm trying to get my head around that because I wasn't sure whether I was going to be around this year, to tell you the truth. But look, let's go to a song. Emily Weimar, you know this lady?
Yeah.
Emily Weimar. No, well, not just yet. We're going to go to an Emily Weimar a little later. She's done a cover of Coloured Stone, remember?
Yeah, Coloured Stone way
Black
back.
Boys.
They were just too lovely. Back in the day, my ragey days, no?
So, yes, you've just tuned in. TJ is our guest today on Moorish Mag, first show for the year. We're going to go to a song anyway. But, TJ, we're going to come back and talk some more about what you're currently doing and where you're going to be at and some of the ideas you have in this new project. Won't tell our listeners what that is because that's why you're here, to tell us about your new project. You've moved on from working and setting up the Healing Centre at Sister Kate's Homey. Queen's Park it is, near the primary school.
Yeah, it's right on Cross Street.
Yeah.
Queen's Park, the primary school's on the corner, and it's wedged between Treasure Road, which that Treasure Road was very known, synonymous with Aboriginal incarceration of those kids at Sister Kate's back in the day. Sister Kate's is across the road. There's only a road that separates us.
Yes.
But that healing centre blocks all that stuff out that happened to us when we were younger.
Well, and you mentioned Indigenous ILSC, which is the Indigenous Land and Sea Corporation. Now, listeners, ILSC was originally set up because it was a fund set up for Aboriginal people not eligible for native title. So take that in for a moment, because that means a lot of stolen people aren't eligible for native title. So don't get too hung up about native title and what it means for Aboriginal people, First Nation people. But the Indigenous Land Corporation was a fund set up by government for those people not eligible for native title. So it's great that they're recognising the work you're doing at the Healing Centre. And we need to be talking to them a bit more, because, I mean, we're talking one healing centre. We need multiple. We need dozens of healing centres. Mm-hmm. So it's a good starting point. So it's great to have you on the show and talking about that. We're going to go to a song and come back and talk, as I said, about your current project, your current aspiration. I guess it all links to what you've been doing for the past 72 years. Sorry, I mean, however what it was. Let's go to a song and come back. TJ Telemenu is my guest here on Moodish Mag. Emily Waimara there singing a cover of Coloured Stone, one of our original bands coming out of Noongar country in South Australia, at a time when, you know, our music wasn't really thought of. TJ, we had No Fixed Address, Coloured Stone, Us Mob. And I remember No Fixed Address and Us Mob doing a tour of the country, and, you know, they booked different venues, and when they rocked up, they were got canned because they were blackfellas. That's a real history of our country.
Seen that. Anyway.
So Emily Waimara doing great stuff. If you haven't listened to her music, there's some amazing stuff that she sings as a young person. And of course, just been reminded too, if you're an artist out there and sing a few songs, RTR is all about, you know, exposing the types of music that you have. So get in touch with us here at RTRFM. Moodish Mag is the email address, moodishmag@rtrfm.com.au. So if you've got some talent out there, and I'm thinking of Dallas Woods myself, but I don't know, he's not on my radar. So TJ, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you, brother. I've been listening. Yeah, it's really good that you're actually planning to, you know, give that exposure to our young fellas, because there's a hell of a lot of talent out there.
That's what RTR's all about. And just the other weekend, I went to see some of the talent at the Rosemount Hotel, which is a sponsor of RTRFM, and Brooks Kidd was featuring down there, and he's the Hill Mob from Bradandi, you know, bustled away.
Our fellas down that way.
So that was good. And I have been to previous shows at the State Theatre on a Friday night, where there's some amazing talent coming through. But no, we've got to encourage First Nation people. If you know of First Nation people that are, you know, starting out, and we'd like to hear from them. So, but welcome back, TJ. Let's not forget that you're the guest in the studio today, and you've been talking about Sister Kate's Homies. And I mean, is there anything more you want to talk about that
Okay, quickly, there is a talented homie descendant who was also engaged with Sister Kate's, working with us, and he is a great singer. He's a rap singer, and he is Auntie Cheryl's.
Good.
Colbunked or Phillips.
Okay. You never know. We might get him.
It's
some
called
exposure,
No, I know that. But his song is called "The Risen," and it's fabulous.
Right. Okay. So yes, well, the word is out now that we're seeking First Nation talent. So get in touch with Moodish Mag at rtrfm.com.au. New developments for you. You've left that sort of part of your life now, and it's healing of our people, the homies and Sister Kate's people at the Wretched Orphanage. What now? What now for TJ?
I'm working. I've been pulled out of retirement by Sister Girl Pat Dudgeon. She heads up the Centre for Best Practice, Social Emotional Wellbeing, Suicide Prevention at UWA, based in the School of
Nasty Word Suicide, but yeah, go on.
I know it's a nasty word, but brother, it's happening.
It's a reality.
It's a reality, and we have to don't shy away from it. We have to actually deal with it and address it and help our young fellas. Even our Kulungas are you know, the statistics when you look at it. And you know the statistics, brother. You know about the high incarceration rates and you know about the high suicide rates that are happening right across this country. And WA hasn't been left out of that situation. So even when we're working up, building up the place of healing, we also had to deal with that. Our family members were committing suicide and we still had to keep moving. And it's, you know, it's not a good thing to talk about, but that's where I'm working now. But on a lighter note, my job down there is 3 days a week and I'm working to empower our young fellas.
Wow, that's good.
Yeah, and that's the 18 to 25 age group. Very, very significant, important group of people within our families and our communities, because they've been through from 0 to 17. They know the pitfall, so they can actually be the linchpin, the guide, the role models, and lynch them to the next age groups and then into our elders. Because as I've said, all our programs at Sister Kate's and what we're doing now, and even with what you're doing, brother, is that you can't exist in isolation. Aboriginal people, First Nations, don't exist in isolation. No. We have to be collective group.
Yep.
And that's what we're actually doing, empowering those young fellas to be able to connect with young ones and to the eldership. But we've also got to help them, and that's what I'm doing with the Aunty TJ TikTok series and also other other forms of social media platforms, is to empower and to keep my keep a check on our young fellas, because they are also, you know, feeling at times that their life is feeling a sense of hopelessness. Yep. And the referendum, by the way, and I won't go there, hasn't helped things.
No. No. Okay, but let's not talk about that, because I think we've done that to death, really, and talking about death, as I say, I didn't want to get off the canvas. That's so understanding then the issues with young people now, Aunty TJ, you mentioned, you're talking about a TikTok series, and that's going to what? It's going to empower young people? Because a lot of young people, they watch TikTok, don't they?
Yes, well, I'm only starting to learn about TikTok because I'm an old girl, so I'm just starting to be introduced to TikTok and I'm learning fast, but I know it is a, you know, you've got the Facebook, Twitter, and you've got the Instagram and that, but TikTok is a social media platform that is very well ingrained now within the psyche and the use of it by young fellas right across the world.
Wow, we're talking to TJ all the way from... Oh, now Angrab Gurang and Minang, one of my mobs, so a lot of relations listening in at down at South Great Southern FM and Noongar Radio. So you'll have a lot of mob out there listening in. So, okay, so it's an empowering people through a social media medium to educate, tell truth, look at alternatives, yes?
Yes, it's about truth telling. It's about sharing uplived experience. 72 years old, been through the gauntlet and back, been through the ringer and back. So hopefully that my reaching out and sharing with our young fellas are words of wisdom. And of course, you've got to be also very, you know, gentle in your approach. Don't be patronising, you don't look down, you don't judge.
Yep.
You just speak from the heart, and that's what I do. But as I said, that's my connection. I'm using that vehicle to be able to heal, empower, send messages of positivity, to say that they're not alone. There are ways and there's services to connect with them if they're having, you know, a bad time of it, or they're feeling unsure, they've got a sense of, you know, hopelessness, whatever. It's about helping them to have good mental health and well-being.
Well, of course, it is an important medium, because young people then can share it with old people. And that's the barrier, isn't it? Because a lot of technology goes over our head. A lot of our older people, they're not going to sit down at a computer and go on the internet. It's not part of their operational, not the way they do things. So by influencing young people, you in turn influence a broader community. Because sadly, I think there's gaps between elders and young people. So this is another mechanism, isn't it, to encourage young people to get the word, but educate their old people. So I think it's a great idea.
Something, you are on the right track there, brother, because I don't just actually talk about relevant and current issues that may be impacting negatively on our young fellas. And I'm talking 18 to 25 here because I told you there's an important age group within our families. But I also talk about cultural healing practices, what they could actually do to calm themselves. We talk about cultural silence. We talk about wildflower essence. Therapy, we talk about, and they can, all the stuff that I'm actually introducing them to through this social platform, media platform, they can actually go back and connect, you know, with their elders, with the ones that are, you know, that they're actually their family members. Mm. And their family members, that's where you've got that generation gap that would actually start closing. Because they'd say, hey, I saw what Auntie TJ was saying on that TikTok, her TikTok series there. What about that mum? What about that nana? Mm,
yeah.
What about that grandpa? What's the story there? What's that? About, what's all this wildflower essence healing? Right. What's about these gum leaves you can use to? So I'm closing the gap and introducing them to connect back to their old people to be able to reinforce the cultural practice around healing.
Mm. It sort of reminds me then of, I've been to a number of events where non-Aboriginal people are part of a welcome to country, and then they sort of branch out into our language, and that's probably sometimes upsetting for stolen people because they weren't encouraged to speak language. So, what sort of strategies do you have on TikTok then to around cultural healing as part of the language revival? Have you had a thought about that?
Yeah, well, being, a Sister Kate home kid, everything culture, including language, and even if it was a form of Noongar Creole, we understood, and that's how we, engaged verbally with our families and that. That was all taken away from us because the loss of language goes back quite a few generations. Yeah. So when I'm starting to introduce language...
Good.
Like I say, the Morat, that means family, the Budja, the Wera and the spirit, the Budja means country. So I'm bringing that back in, so start getting them to also identify what I'm talking on a cultural level, and there's the language that you can use to share what you're, actual doing in your cultural activities.
So when you're talking about, joined up or... relationship building organisations working together, we need to then empower some of the community to have some of those language centres. So really, the Healing Centre could be part of that. You're talking, going back to the Sister Kate's Healing Centre. Is there language?
So we started talking language, and Auntie Broma Winmar, who's very fluent in Noongar. Also my nephew, Glenn Stashig, over the murder, he's very fluent.
Good.
We've got quite a few young fellas and elders that want to be able to be a part of it. So with the programs, and we've got quite a lot around the Healing Centre and what we're going to deliver, and we have delivered, language is one of... the programs that are going to be very, very important. We even had, when we talk about stronger homey families, we had the young ones come in and they understand what cultural dance is, the smoking ceremonies and the songs. And they started using language to identify with the bush block and who they are as First Peoples. Absolutely fabulous. I've got some really great material, photographs and videos. It's just too lovely
to see.
That
answers the question. So part of the cultural healing is language.
Yeah.
And there will be avenues then through that strategy that we'll start encouraging. And I think Langford Aboriginal Corporation were doing some language, weren't they?
Yeah, Angela over there has been introduced doing language a long, long time, and it's good to see. So I don't know whether Auntie Roma has anything to do with that, but there's quite a few of our elders out there that still are fluent in language. And then they've also been right through a process of bringing back and regenerating, and rejuvenating, but regenerating, regrowing our language in our voices.
Sure. And we might play some Gina Williams a little later because Gina Williams there's an opera happening soon, a second one.
Oh, my gosh.
So I might just do something to promote that a little. But
she's too lovely. She's too lovely.
So the language then is part of the cultural healing. The language then could be encompassed in TikTok. I'm starting to get a better handle on TikTok.
Yeah, so what I would like to do as we progress well, as we progress, I would like to start having, you know, people come on with me, introduce them. This is our elders. This is our young fellas. This is our singers, our songwriters, our healers, and show them what we can do too. So they've also got positive exposure. We, as you said, and I'm quoting you now, brother, is that we need to all stick together and work together. Even though we're working in different spaces, we need to start having a more of a collective focus on what we're doing.
Sure. Yeah, and there's a lot of emphasis on sticking together. It's I'm reminded of Red Dust Healing. They, one of their themes is, you know, there's a bit of red dust out there, but it really is about sticking together, working together, you know, empowering our community by simply what you're saying now, some of the healing messages that'll be visual. It'll be a little video. And it could be a podcast, just oral,
Yep, it could. As I said, the sky's the limit. I'm starting as an elder to get familiar with TikTok and all that social media platforms, and I do see the worth in it. There's lots of benefits, beneficial ways that you can send that message out, and this is the one I've chosen. So, as I said, it's coming out as a part of the Centre of Best Practice. One of the programs has just been initiated. I started, you know, walking through it at the end of last year, but now I'm looking at all the programs, and so I do the programs and deliver those messages that are needed, that are current and that are relevant. And it's called the Auntie TJ.
Look, 0405921921 is our text line. Now, you've been invited now to also encourage and tell people that are First Nation singers, artists, to get in touch with us through that line too, 0405921921. But also there's a challenge out there to our listeners. What do you think of TikTok? Is it something that you'd like to be involved in? Get in touch with us on 0405921921. I'll pass that information back to Auntie TJ. So, okay. Look, this is all very interesting. You know, we're talking New Year 2024. It's our first show for the year. So we need to be thinking collaboratively now as to how we can influence our community. You know, we've only got 1 hour a week on this radio, but it's repeated on Noongar Radio and Great Southern FM. So we want to get people involved and get them mobilised, don't we? Because we've been through, you know, we've been through the school of hard knocks, and we can't go on doing that, because sometimes you get knocked, you may not get up again. That's the issue we're dealing with. And, you know, sadly, we're talking suicide today. We're talking self-harm, self-neglect, and all those issues that you're attempting now to address through your TikTok. So thank you, really, for bringing that to the attention of our listeners here at Moorish Mag. I don't know whether anyone's texted in or not, but I'd love to hear from you about what you're thinking around TikTok is, because I think most of our listeners are probably older people. And who knows, there may be some younger people out there that have some thoughts. So, okay, let's go to a song, because we want to talk some more about that research, because research is probably sometimes a dirty word for our mob too, because First Nation people have been, they're probably the most researched people on this planet. You know, given we're the oldest culture on the planet, we've been here 3,000 generations BC before Cook. And that's, you know, there needs to be some real understanding of that. So how are you going with that?
Yeah, pick it up.
Pick it up?
Put a song and pick it up when we come back.
Okay, let's have a song and keep it locked to RTRFM 92.1. Heaven on My Own, that's heaven when you listen to Moorish Mag on RTR FM 92.1 Noongar Radio and Great Southern FM. Dallas Woods there. We think he's Noongar, but born in Wyndham. Who knows? I think he's connected to our mob Woods in Ongarup, Noang Grup, Albany. So that's... we're coming to the end of the show, and TJ has been my guest. And we're going to talk some more... probably at another show, because there's so much to talk about. I mean, you're so much wisdom in that head of yours.
Thank you, brother.
I don't know, is that a compliment?
You can bring it out. Like, you can bring it out.
So, and we're talking language and music. Gina Williams is our closing song today. Gina Williams has been on many shows here. We've played her music many, many times. I think one of her albums is called Bindi, which I've named my dog after that, Bindi, and the butterfly.
Yeah.
The little dog's got flappy ears.
Fly away.
So, TJ, what closing words from you?
Okay.
Good luck with the research. I mean, it's going to be a tough one.
Yeah, thank you. I'm also just wanted to actually let listeners know that I'll also be going along with Pat Dudgeon over to the National Suicide Prevention Conference in Melbourne at the beginning of March. And then I've also been asked with Auntie Roma Winmar to represent our school and the centre at the International Suicide Prevention over there in Niagara Falls, USA, in July. So I've got a lot to lead up.
Oh.
And I'll be writing up papers, a little bit of lecturing and that. So I'm enjoying my new revived
good on you. Good
contribution
on you.
To our people. So see how it goes and, yeah.
I mean, what I'd like to tell our guests, they come on Woody Schmag, I mean, you know, you're now a friend of RTRFM and we need you back to
thank you.
Have another yarn because there is so much to talk about. And, you know, I think now the world is going to be hungry. The world is going to be hungry, particularly around what we've been through in the last couple of months, what we went through in 2023, and people want to hear more. We constantly get texts on 0405 921 921 telling us it's great to hear from you guys at Woody Schmag because we don't get that sort of education at school. Or so it is an awareness. It is a truth-telling tool here at RTRFM on 92.1, and so keep it locked to listen to other programs today and hear more about the truth. So, TJ, thanks so much for coming on the program today.
Thank you, brother.
Because you've talked about Sister Kate's Homies, the original and probably the only orphanage in Australia to try and divide fair-skinned children, you know, part of the breed-out, the colour policy that A.O. Neville, the wretched devil, they called him, as chief protector, and in his time up until... what was it, up until 1960? So, yeah, there's a lot to be said about intergenerational trauma, the impact of that removal. So good on you for coming in. Any final words?
Okay, I just wanted to say, everybody, stay strong in your cultural strength, keep safe and also mindful, and don't let anything interfere with your mental health and your well-being. Stand strong.
You've been tuned to Woody Schmag. We're going to say goodbye now and go to a Gina Williams song. Thank you for listening in to Woody Schmag.
Yeah, thank you, listeners.